was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in on a rising tide. Look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Oh, rather interesting night tonight. Tonight I'm joined with Mr. John Mesmer, and I believe if she gets in on time, Miss Lori Anderson. She's had her hands full the past few days, and she says that she wanted me to apologize to the audience for her not being around a little bit more, but she had a situation to deal with. So I've passed on that message, and she's going to be trying to call in tonight. But I have John on the line, and we want to cover first a clip from an Obama town hall. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about this clip before we roll it?
Well, the irony of the clip is it's a perfect illustration of the hypocrisy of pretty much all Obama's major points. He won't use the term radical Islamic terror, and his justification for the denigration of the VA under his watch, and just, you know, several other issues. So it's
what exactly perfect. Are we supposed to call them? Are we supposed to call them special little snowflakes?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
Good God.
Yep.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. I think, I mean, and the clip is so self-explanatory. It's ridiculous, the level of hypocrisy. And you can tell he's lying through his teeth when he speaks really slow like this.
We should have titled tonight's episode, Hypocrisy of the Dems.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait till we get into more of it. Anyway, all right. Hey, Mike, you got that clip? This is Obama Town Hall.
Thank you so much. Please be seated, everybody.
I'm going to get to them in a sec. I have a few questions, national security issues that are in the news right this second. So we learned today that you're sending 600 more U.S. troops into Iraq to help the fight against ISIS. After almost 8 years of being president, I can't help but think that you seem more reluctant today to send large groups of U.S. forces into harm's way than you did at the beginning of your presidency when you tripled the number of troops in Afghanistan. Can you offer us a glimpse of what goes through your mind when you make the decision to send men and women like this into places like Iraq and Syria?
I don't know if we want to see that.
First of all, I want to thank everybody here at Fort Lee, Major General Williams, the entire team.
I can see the little mouth.
This is one of the crown jewels of our military infrastructure, because part of what makes us the greatest fighting force in world history is our ability to project anywhere, anytime around the world. And the work that's done here on logistics and transport and ordnance facilitates us being able to do the incredible work that we do every single day. So I want to thank both military and civilian for the mission they do. Jake, I've always been very mindful that when I send any of our outstanding men and women in uniform into a war theater, they're taking a risk that they may not come back. And so there has not been a change from the time I came into office to the time...
Especially if Hillary's Secretary of State.
That is not a somber decision. I think what has changed is the nature of the missions that we've been trying to accomplish. When I first came into office, Afghanistan was crumbling. In part because
we were just trying to build up
a lot of resources to Iraq. And it was necessary for us to stop the bleeding and required us to send a large number of troops there. Once we stabilized and we were able to make sure that Afghan security forces were in the fight on their own and we were able to transition into a advise and assist posture, then we were able to draw them back down. And we now have about 9,000 U.S. troops there, but we're not in the combat role. In Iraq, our goal is to provide air support, and we've flown 100,000 sorties, 50,000 strikes to decimate ISIL.
To drop off as much equipment as we possibly can.
Our job is not to provide the ground forces that is rolling back territory. That's the job of the Iraqis, where we provide training and assistance, logistical support. We do have some special forces operators where if we're targeting a high-value target or we're going after some key intelligence that's going to help us dismantle ISIL.
Or training ISIS.
More forward-leaning. Yeah. And so now we have a little over 5,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, around 300 or so in Syria. But it's the nature of the role that has changed rather than how I assess it. I am always mindful.
More and more destabilization efforts now.
Our men and women in uniform are in war theater, there is risk. And although when I came into office, we had well over 100,000 U.S. troops, and now we have about 15,000 between Iraq and Afghanistan, each one of those individuals are still carrying out a critical mission.
And ISIS is running amok.
Engaging in a fight that is dangerous. And we are grateful for the sacrifice. And I never forget it, so that each and every time we make a decision, I want to make sure the Pentagon is describing how it is that those folks are going to add to our ability to dismantle ISIL in a smart and sustainable way.
So let's, keeping with that theme, let's move from Iraq to Syria. You've said you're confident there were no good options for the U.S. to be able to stop what's going on in Syria without getting our troops involved in a quagmire.
Right.
You've also recently said that you are haunted constantly by what's going on there, the nearly 500,000 killed, the biggest refugee crisis since World War II. When you see images from Syria, do you ever doubt yourself? Do you ever second guess the decisions you've made?
I think any good president has to go back and re-examine the decisions that he or
she made.
Well,
what if we had one of them?
So that you can learn something from them. And
that would be nice,
there hasn't been probably a week that's gone by in which I haven't re-examined some of the underlying premises around how we're dealing with the situation in Syria and explored whether there are additional options that we haven't thought of.
Yeah, that's calling
and that's
having
not
your
just
head
an exercise
examined.
I go through. That's an exercise we have our entire team go through. I'll sit in the Situation Room with my Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We'll bring in outside experts. I will bring in critics of my policy to find out, okay,
let me come and talk to you.
The civil war that's taking place in Syria.
I got a couple critics right here for you.
I will be honest with you.
Exactly.
One of the things I think we have to be mindful of is we have, by a mile, the greatest military on earth. And we
are in
a position to defend the United States, defend our personnel, defend our people, our property,
snaps in the Z
and
formation.
Our allies. But there are going to be some bad things that happen around the world, and we have to be judicious in thinking about, is this a situation in which inserting large numbers of U.S. troops will get us a better outcome, knowing the incredible sacrifices that will be involved. And in Syria,
oh my God,
there is not a scenario in which, absent us deploying large numbers of troops, we can stop a civil war in which both sides are deeply dug in. There have been critics.
The bankers are funding both sides of that civil war, and those are the bankers you work for.
You have provided sufficient support to a moderate opposition, they might have been able to overthrow the murderous Assad regime.
Oh, yeah.
The murderous Assad regime. How about the murderous freaking ISIS
regime
that you set up?
He's talking about moderates. Okay.
Iran. Because they have not threatened us directly.
How about the moderate that gave the heart to one of their enemies
as it's
that
understood
we were funding? How about that? I'm about to call him names. I can't call him on the air. All right, go ahead. Keep rolling.
Would have been violating international law, as it's understood to just go in there and invade. And unless we were willing to sustain a large presence there and escalate if and when Russia or Iran got involved, then we were going to be in a situation where at some point the situation would collapse, except we would have a bunch of folks on the ground and be very much overextended. In addition, keep in mind that we still had a situation in Iraq in which we had to support a fragile government. We still had a situation in Afghanistan, which, despite the incredible sacrifices that we've made, we've given them an opportunity to succeed, but they're not out of the woods yet. We have spent well over $1 trillion. There is a long tail of costs in terms of us caring for those who come home with wounds seen and unseen. And
the ones he's trying to disarm.
It's in these situations where you have to make judgments.
Yeah, what have we gained for that $1 trillion?
For
it's been
the
way more than
the interests of the United States, even though what you see is heartbreaking. And
what we see is heartbreaking.
Decisions that you make as president, but historically, if you look at what happens to great nations, more often than not, they end up having problems because they are overextended, don't have a clear sense of what is their core interests and what are things that they'd like to help. And the key in Syria at this point is, unless we can get the parties involved to recognize that they are just burning their country to the ground and get it on a diplomatic and political track, frankly, there's going to be a limit to what we can do. We will try to mitigate the pain and suffering that those folks are undergoing. This is part of the reason why our approach to refugees, for example, has to be open-hearted.
Mitigate
pain and
suffering coming from this guy's
home. Protect our homeland. But at the end of the day, there are going to be challenges around the world that happen that don't directly touch on our security, where we need to help, we need to help lead, but just sending in more troops is not going to be the answer.
I'd love to keep going, but this event is about the men and women around us, and I'd like to introduce you right now to Major Jonathan Yost. He's a chaplain here at Fort Lee. He serves in the West Virginia Air National Guard. Major.
Mr. President, since you assumed office in 2009, there's been a substantial increase in terror attacks around the world. Likewise, in the U.S., we've had major attacks in large cities such as Orlando, New York City, and elsewhere. Sir, my question to you, are we doing anything now greater to combat Islamic jihadist?
Well, I think that, first of all, it's important to recognize that if you look worldwide, the number of terrorist incidents have not substantially increased. What we've seen are some very high-profile attacks, mostly in the Middle East, also in our European theaters. ISIL's emergence, obviously, has underscored the fact that even after we killed bin Laden, even after we dismantled al-Qaeda,
didn't kill Bin Laden.
That the ideology of hatred and
Air America Tours, 1-800-KIM-OSMAN.
And we've now seen a number of incidents here in the homeland, but they're different in kind from the sorts of attacks that we saw on 9/11. Part of what has happened is because of the outstanding work of our men and women in uniform and us dismantling al-Qaeda, partly because of hardening the homeland, the incredible ramp-up of intelligence work that we do, the much more effective cooperation between law enforcement and the military, so that information sharing, for example, between the FBI and cities and law enforcement officials there is much improved. Because of the improvements we've made on aviation, it is much harder for terrorist organizations to carry out large-scale attacks. The challenge we have, and this is going to be a challenge that we have for a while, is that it is possible for individuals or small groups of people to be inspired, and if they're willing to die to carry out significant harm, even though they're not directed from the outside, even though there's not a complicated talk.
About Islam,
and
jihad.
These so-called lone wolf.
Well, sort of, kind of.
Are going to be our biggest danger.
Yeah, the lone wolves, because they're bringing in tens of thousands of these Muslim fighting age men with jihad.
Dismantling ISIL will reduce the appeal of what they're broadcasting through the internet, the poison that they're feeding people, oftentimes who may have other mental illnesses or be troubled in some way. But you take an example like the situation in Orlando. You've got an individual here who has not broken any laws, who, because of the way we organize our ability to purchase firearms, can go into a store legally, buy a bunch of firearms, and if he goes into a club and decides he wants to shoot a lot of folks, he can do a lot of damage. And so part of what we're
turning it around and blaming the Second Amendment indirectly, blaming guns directly.
Them,
right.
Instead of blaming this guy and his ideology.
Figure out how do we block or counteract some of the hateful ideology that's coming over the internet. And we're also going to have to take some common sense precautions about how people who may have been inspired by these jihadists are able to get firearms, for example, and go into a club or into a mall and start shooting people up. And that's going to be a challenge. But I do think it's important for us to maintain perspective here. The work that this military has done and the work that our law enforcement has done has made us significantly safer today than we were when 9/11 happened.
Thank you, Major. I want to introduce you to Donna Coates. She's the widow of Army veteran Barry Coates. He waited more than a year for a colonoscopy at a VA hospital. By the time he got one, he had terminal cancer.
Listen to this.
The family sued the VA. That claim was settled. Donna.
Make you sick.
Mr. President, I stand before you today with my husband's flag because it was always his desire to... meet you. And sadly, he never got the chance to. Still, nothing's changed. In fact, the contracted doctor that misdiagnosed my husband is still treating our veterans at the same VA clinic. My mom has always told me that if you stop talking about stuff and do it, then you don't have to talk about it any longer. So when are we going to actually start holding these contracted doctors and the VA employees accountable? For it's the difference between life and death. And families like mine, they're tired of waiting. And the only true change that's come since we began talking was that I am now a widow. And my family, we will never be the same.
Well, first of all, you know, my heart goes out to you. I heard the testimony of your husband. Bob McDonald,
the VA,
heard that testimony. And because we can't bring your husband back, I don't want to in any way sugarcoat the fact that there have been significant problems in the VA that have accumulated over decades. And the incidents that we saw in South Carolina, the incidents that we saw in Phoenix, were inexcusable, but they were also an indication that you have a system, a bureaucracy that had gotten overwhelmed, built up over time, and now when you have a lot more veterans coming home needing treatment, even with some of the improvements that are made, there were still inexcusable wait times. Now, we have actually made progress. And again, I don't want to in any way pretend that we're where we need to be, but you know, we have, in fact, fired a whole bunch of people who were in charge of some of these facilities. I don't know the particular case of this individual doctor, but you can bet I'll find out after this meeting. We now have a situation where about 80% of individuals who interact with the VA are satisfied that they're getting timely treatment. I want that to be 100%.
That's an absolute
and that
lie.
Requires more work. Since I came into office, just to give you some sense of perspective, we have increased the VA budget by 85%. No president has increased the VA budget faster and more aggressively than I have, because I believe that we've got to meet the sacred vow that we make to our troops that if you are fighting for us when you come home, you're going to get good service. But it's not enough just for us to put more money into the system if the system itself is dysfunctional. So part of what was happening, and we're beginning to fix it, but we're not there yet, is in taking appointments, we were using old systems where somebody'd answer the phone, they'd write down, try to schedule it, then they'd hand it off to somebody who then input it into some old rickety computer, and then somebody'd print it out, and then it would get passed on to somebody else. And so the system itself was so antiquated, so old, that it was hugely inefficient. So we're having to rebuild information systems, intake systems. Part of what we've done, working with Congress, was also making sure that if somebody is in a situation where, for example, they live far away from a facility, that they now have recourse to go to a private doctor and get that doctor can get reimbursed. So across the board, we're working on these issues. But I think it's really important to understand that the VA schedules 58 million appointments every year. 58 million. And I want zero errors in all that process. We're not anywhere near zero errors. And sadly, there are real consequences for people when that happens. But I don't want you to ever think that it's because people like Bob McDonald, his deputies, are not taking this very seriously, because we understand this is a life or death situation and we are resourcing it. But the VA is a big ocean liner, like a lot of the federal government, and when you initiate changes, you know, you're trying to steer it, and you know, maybe you get it over on the right course, but you're not going to see fully the impact of all the changes we're making until a few years out. But I appreciate you sharing.
How about you not get involved in all these foreign entanglements? How about you not be the police of the world?
It's not something that...
non-declared wars. And we wouldn't have a need for 58 million
This is First Lieutenant James Sutter. He's an XO here in Fort Lee. He serves in a mortuary affairs company.
Mr. President, we honor those who have given deep meaning to the phrase, home of the brave, by making the ultimate sacrifice for the land of the free. Lately, some players in the NFL have been choosing to take a knee during the national anthem, a time which I believe should be reserved to respect.
Time that we believe it should be reserved for
think it ended.
As Commander-in-Chief, how do you feel about those NFL players choosing this typically respected time to voice their opinions?
Well, as I've said before, I believe that...
I think we're cutting out the ads there.
Us honoring our flag and our anthem is part of what binds us together as a nation. And I think that for me, for my family, for those who work in the White House, we recognize what it means to us, but also what it means to the men and women who are fighting on our behalf. But I'm also always trying to remind folks that part of what makes this country special is that we respect people's rights to have a different opinion and make different decisions about how they want to express their concerns.
Tell Michael Savage
and
you respect
his
opinion.
The test of our fidelity to our Constitution, to freedom of speech, to our Bill of Rights, is not when it's easy, but when it's hard.
You mean our corporate Bill of Privileges?
We
are you talking about?
Fight sometimes so that people can do things that we disagree with.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, you can stop it there. You can stop it there. Look, I have
I think we get
problem.
The flavor of it.
I have a big problem with these guys in the NFL that are siding with Black Lives Matter while they're making millions of dollars talking about this Marxist version of oppression that black people...
Oh, gosh.
Look, there are different cultures of every skin tone. There's the inner city thuggish culture. There is the... suburban, well-educated, black and white culture mixed. These are not they make it black and white, but it isn't black and white. Not at all. It's not black and white at all.
Nothing to do with it.
And
exactly.
Especially take these athletes that some of them come from very, some of them do come from very impoverished upbringings, but they've used their talents and their abilities in one of the greatest nations that ever was, to be able to use those talents to earn millions of dollars, and instead of spending those millions of dollars in the inner city trying to stop black-on-black crime like the little six-year-old girl who was doing her homework and got gunned down by the wrong address of a drive-by shooting. Her black life mattered, but it didn't matter to Black Lives Matter. We'll be back
here.
Words from our sponsors, Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
You know,
no.
Listening to Obama is almost like as bad as listening to nails going across a chalkboard.
Oh, gosh, it's sheer torture.
Oh, my Lord. You know, just, you know, when he had mentioned Osama bin Laden, you know, I had posted a post earlier today. It was Osama bin Laden scuba diving with the Air America Tours logo, and we have swamp land in Arizona to sell you. Please contact 1-800-TIM-OSMOND. And with the RTR Truth Media logo, I think we're going to start doing T-shirts. We were talking to a guy about doing that, and I had a couple people contact me and say, oh, my God, this would be a hysterical T-shirt. And I think that we're going to do that. I'm going to meet with the guy in a couple days, and that's the first design that I'm going to give to him. I think it would be a perfect launch for a T-shirt line, and we're going to keep these T-shirts. We're gonna make them as funny and as informatively funny. They need to give you some truth and at the same time make people crack up. Because if you can't have humor, man, if you can't have a sense of humor, what is there?
Oh gosh, if we couldn't laugh at some of this stuff in that gallows humor, I think we'd all commit suicide or something.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, our next clip up we have for your. You're perusing
the Hypocrite Hit Parade.
Oh, you want to talk about the Hypocrite Hit Parade. We have simply, you know, when Trump talks about immigration, man, he gets absolutely slammed. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. You know, Clinton keeps getting these passes. And, you know, I don't know why for the life of me, why the Donald doesn't bring some of this stuff up. But we have a clip for you that I want to share with you. Now, you guys have all, you're very familiar. And, yeah, I know, for my listeners out there, I'm not taking a trip into the de facto. I'm not all in, you know, just, but this is what's going on. It's election time. To ignore the fact that these gangsters have control would be, you know, I'd be remiss to do that. So we have to take a walk down memory lane. Here is a clip from Bill Clinton. Now, I want you to hear the words that he says and compare them with Donald Trump today and all of the blasting he takes. Go.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Oh, Lord, mercy. If we didn't know better, that would have sounded fantastic.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd have been perfect. You know, Trump says that stuff today, and he's a racist.
Well, he's a racist.
Anti-Mexican. It has nothing to do, really, it has a lot less to do with the Mexicans than some of these refugees that are sneaking over the border from, you know, origins unknown. You know, 1,800 of them the other day, and these are guys that were, I believe that they were, they were charged with crimes that they were supposed to be deported, and somehow, accidentally, they all got made American citizens.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, American citizenship just happened to fall down out of the sky and hit him in the forehead.
Yeah, and has that been revoked? I don't think so.
Of course it hasn't, because this is part of the agenda. All of the rhetoric and the absolute crap that we hear coming from these people is just that. There is an agenda.
Yeah.
It is partial. Cloward Piven made it. The Cloward Piven strategy is a portion of it. where you essentially flood the United States with immigrants until you cause a cataclysm of the economic system, of the crime. It requires more police, more security, more loss of liberty. You know, eventually there's going to be terrorist attacks happening every day. It's going to get to the point where the United Nations is going to step up. Now, I have a theory about Obama. A lot of people said, oh, he's going to try and hold on to a third term, and Trump's going to get assassinated, all these things, right? Well, if you notice, he has been, Obama has been pretty much signing over just about all of our sovereignty to the United Nations.
Yep.
It is my opinion. Now, I know that he's going to stay in Washington for a time after his presidency, right? It is my belief that he is going to try and move on to the head chair there at the United Nations.
The UN. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think he's made that pretty clear that he aspires to that. I mean,
yeah, and he's signing over the power to the United Nations, mm-hmm. and he's going to leave this position of power and step into the other one. After building up the strong cities networks and all that other crazy, insane, anti-American, unconstitutional plans that they have. I mean, just to understand and comprehend on the level of it's out and out treason.
It's a ceaseless barrage of insurrection and treason and usurpation, and it's so in your face. And I think part of that Collard Piven strategy is that you say and do things that are so off the charts ridiculous that, you know, people just don't even know what to make of it anymore. You just baffle
FDR,
them.
FDR said, one of the quotes coming from FDR said, I'm not a communist, but I know a lot of communists, and a lot of them are really nice people.
Sure. Some of my best friends are commies.
No, it's not a subversive ideology hell-bent at the destruction of the U.S. Constitution. No, they're really nice people.
Oh, man.
Lord have mercy on my soul. Sometimes I tell you, it's downright painful.
It is. It's just a constant barrage, and it just is. It's exponentially increasing as everything moves along.
Well, we all know that the U.S. is a corporation. I think that there has been a very educational piece that I've been kind of holding back. You know, what I've been trying to do with hour two of the show is sharing with my audience a little bit of, you know, kind of like a history lesson. It's the first hour. We delve into what's going on now, and the second hour we're trying to delve into a little bit more of historical content. So, you know, it's late at night. People can lay back and they can sit and absorb some of this information. And I think the second hour of our show is going to be, well, at least a portion of it is going to be based upon the U.S. as a corporation. And hopefully they can share that with their friends and their neighbors and their family members and enlighten them a little bit. But until we get there, the last clip of this hour, this is going to be fun. You're going to have to hang on to your hang on to your seats for this one. This is
a good one.
The mentality of not only a feminist, but a social justice warrior, little Marxist queen. These people, they can do whatever they want, and that they're there's no consequences for their actions. You get into this, okay? Roll the clip of SJW woman gives Trump supporter the finger.
He gets triggered.
Triggered.
Power with no makeup on, which I would normally never allow anybody to see, but something really bad is going on. There is a cop car behind me here, as you can see. Well, it's actually in front of me. So what happened, I don't know if you remember, but I posted a picture of a house that had a bunch of Pence and Trump signs and a Hillary for prison sign, and I have to pass it every single day. And I was passing it today, just a little while ago, on my way to go pick up Ben from school, and there was a big, ugly redneck guy standing in the driveway, so I gave him the finger, which I'm allowed to do with my First Amendment freedom of speech rights. And this motherfucker got in his car and chased me all the way down the block, down St. John's, down towards Ben's school. I haven't even been able to pick up Ben yet because this motherfucker has this one in this
Sorry
car,
for the cussing.
The fucking red flag, this is American
a live
flag.
Broadcast of what happened.
Has been talking to him for like 15 minutes almost. He talked to me for about 2 seconds. I told him what happened. This guy has been taking pictures of my car. He got in his car to chase me.
Right,
and he's been chasing
right
me and chasing me and taking pictures.
All right, now, you just heard her say that not only does she drive past this guy's house every day, but in the past, she has stopped to take photographs of the man's house and his yard. So the man's already alerted to this psycho in the neighborhood, right? Okay, go ahead, roll it.
...of my car for a while, and he's talking to this cop like he has the right to get in his car and chase me for simply expressing my freedom of speech, First Amendment rights.
Oh,
this
we're going to have a First Amendment.
Your Donald Trump supporter, America. This is your Donald Trump supporter who gets in his car and chases a 5-foot-tall, 102-pound woman.
Oh!
And the cop is talking to him for a really super long time. The cop took my license. He's talking to the guy. So there's the guy in his Audi. And on the side of his Audi is, you know, the Trump Penn stickers. And he's taken photos of my car, including my license plate. So I'm going to film him yelling at the cop, yelling at me. So I'm just going to keep this going
until
the cop comes back and speaks to me and explains to me why he's not taking that guy in for chasing and harassing and threatening me and scaring me. He was driving so fast, super close, right behind my car. All I did was I rolled down my window. I gave him the finger. I said, back off, you fucking racist. And instead, he just keeps chasing me. So instead of going to pick up my son from school, because I did not want this fucker near my child's school, I turned around and followed a cop and honked my horn and flashed my lights until the cop pulled over. So that's where we are sitting here right now. This is what's going on. This redneck guy is still talking to the cop, and all I have done is expressed my freedom of speech, First Amendment rights. All
so
I did was
bigotry.
This. And I'll continue to do this to every fucking Donald Trump supporter who decides they want to mess with me. All I did was, you know, I gave him the finger, which for me, if you know me, is super mild thing to do.
Yeah, sure. Because
but once he got in his car and he actually chased me, then, that's when it becomes a legal problem. Hi, sir. We're recording this just because I'm on social media and I have a lot of followers, and that guy chased me and threatened me and scared me.
All right, check this out. So not only has she admitted to driving past this guy's house every single day and harassing the shit out of this guy and giving him the finger and yelling at him and calling him a racist,
back up.
She's going to then try and backpedal and say she hasn't. But after she's admitting to completely harassing him, she completely takes the First Amendment out of context by thinking that just because the government is restricted to the point that they cannot silence your political speech, that gives you the right to stalk people on your way to pick your kid up from school. Okay, go ahead, roll it. It gets better. It gets better.
By driving his car super fast behind my car and honking his horn and coming after me and taking photos.
What do you mean coming after you?
He was standing on his driveway, and then he jumped in his car specifically to chase me.
Okay, what did you do prior to that?
I did this.
Okay, so you...
Which is freedom of speech. I said nothing.
Freedom
of action. This is... Okay, freedom of action. protected by the Constitution, my freedom of speech to call him a racist, but I did not step on his property. I did not get out of my car. I didn't chase him or threaten him. I didn't do anything to him except express myself with my hand. So when he started chasing me and he started recording and he started taking pictures of my car and my license plate, then I rolled down my window and I said, back off, you racist. Maybe I said the F word a few times, but it's freedom of speech. He does not have the right to chase me, harass me, scare me on my way to my son's school.
Which I've explained to him.
Okay.
I've explained to him that he's not allowed to follow you.
Thank you.
He is allowed to get your information, get your tags if he cares to be so much.
Well, and what would that do? Why would he get my, what would that do?
Because he's claiming that you're a public disturbance. And
I'm a public disturbance because I gave a man the finger.
Can you give me a second?
Yeah.
All right, so you understand that he lives in a school zone? I mean, you're driving through it, so you know that he lives in a school zone.
He doesn't live in a school zone.
I have his address right here. So.
Okay, so?
Okay, so just he's complaining that basically you're using foul language. You're yelling, and that you're talking to other people that live around. I've never spoken to any of his neighbors, sir. Can I talk for a second?
Yes, sir. I don't live in his neighborhood.
So I'm not saying that you do.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what he's reporting, okay?
Okay, that's fine. But
so
he's lying.
What he's reporting tells me that you could be, and I'm not saying you will be, I'm not saying you did this or didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
The actions that he's explaining by are around,
uh-huh,
that can be considered a public disturbance, and you can be cited for it.
Okay, may I explain? There were no children around. It was not in front of the school. He does not live that close to the school that anyone was around. I did not pull into his driveway. I slowed my car down in the street in front of where he lives. He happened to be standing there looking for him.
So, okay, so you admittedly stopped in front of his place of residence.
I slowed down when I saw him. No, I just gave him the finger at that time.
So
I did not speak. I did an obscene gesture, yes, because that's a problem. That's a reason to jump in your car and chase somebody almost all the way to their child's school.
I'm going to let you know that if you stop in front of someone's house, I mean, he didn't really do anything to you, right?
Well, it's offensive to
you didn't know him.
No, I don't know him. I'm offended by the fact that he's a Hillary for prison sign, which is his First Amendment right, and that's fine. But it's my First Amendment right to voice my displeasure with it in the way that I did, which I did peacefully.
Yeah.
This is not peaceful.
Yeah.
This is absolutely not a peaceful way to respond to what I did. That's threatening, chasing, and I could press charges against him for doing that. That's harassing behavior.
Okay, harassment means he's threatened you by conduct or voice.
Well, that's conduct.
So
chasing me quickly behind my car.
I told him that he shouldn't be following you.
Uh-huh.
But breaking traffic laws is illegal, okay? Threatening to harm someone or property,
uh-huh,
that is illegal. That is called harassment, okay?
All right. But chasing me and being super close to the rear of my car, that's not harassing?
That are causing violence or causing an argument to the point of violence, now you can be held liable.
All I did was give the guy the finger, and he jumped in his car and took a physical response.
My question to you is, why would you even go out of your way to do that?
I didn't go out of my car. I stopped my car because I saw him. Because I'm angry about this election, sir. Because people like him are... Because he was standing there, I gave him the finger. I said nothing.
If you're doing that, what's to stop you from hitting someone?
Why would I? Because I am a 5 foot tall, 104 pound woman, and I would not.
Your emotions take the benefit of you.
What's wrong with that?
Just move on.
Move on. There is a racist, xenophobic maniac running for president, and that guy is supporting him. And if I give him the finger,
I'm not going to get into a political argument with you.
I'm not asking you to. My point is that I silently protested something I did not agree with. And he acted in a violent. This is a silent protest.
You went out of your way to cause physical action.
No, I didn't, because I did not think that he was going to get in his car and follow me. I didn't get out of my car.
Okay.
I didn't turn my car off. If you want to get me by the
every day.
Stay away from him. Don't drive by his residence
anymore. Well, I don't have a choice. I have to drive by his residence to get my son.
I'm going to tell you what. He's got cameras outside of his house.
Because he knows he's a threat.
Listen, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
If he decides to report in and has repeated incidences of you driving by his property and doing these obscene gestures, or worse yet, actually threatening someone or saying something.
I can't believe you're going to protect the guy who chased me.
Will you please let me talk?
know this.
What I'm
know
telling
this.
You,
women are going to stop
this. You cannot repeatedly go after someone because you're political.
I haven't gone after him. I gave him the finger one time.
Okay.
And if he's too much of a pussy to be able to accept that from a woman, that's his problem. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You can tell him if he ever does any threatening behavior again, I will press charges.
I would recommend that you just drive on next time, okay?
You know what?
Don't
it's my right as an American.
I agree that it's your right.
It's my right.
I
silently
also,
protest
safety,
it.
My safety.
Because men have the right to threaten women.
I would recommend that you don't start fights.
I didn't start a fight. I gave a man a finger who was standing in his driveway while I was driving by. Okay, that started a fight. I'm a shit starter. That's me. I'm moving on now. That's your police work at there's your tax dollars at work right there. Okay? Men will always have the upper hand on a woman in this country until we elect a woman who shatters the glass ceiling. Okay? So that's what happened. I want everybody to share this with everybody that you can. I certainly will. That motherfucker, I'm not allowed to drive by his house because I gave him the finger. That's your GOP nominee. That's the fucking pussy who wants to run our country. We will not let this happen. Dublin,
we shared
out.
It with everybody, sweetheart. You special little triggered snowflake.
She has no idea how lucky she is. She has no idea how lucky she is that that cop was so patient with her.
Dude, he could have locked her up for creating a scene right there.
Oh, gosh. And most cops just wouldn't even tolerate somebody getting in their face like that. You know?
I tell you what, and you see what this is. You take a liberal mentality like this. She drives past this guy's house every day, and she's been giving him a finger. She's been calling him a racist. All because he has a Trump.
Taking pictures?
He's done nothing to the point where this guy has gone out and gotten cameras to film around his house because he's got this psycho nutcase that keeps driving past his house. He's got kids. He's got kids to worry about.
And,
if I had some psycho
And that's just what she's admitting to. You can bet your sweet dollar that she's done a lot more than she's admitted to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And even what she admitted could have gotten her a ticket. I give that cop a lot of credit because I think I would have cited her for inciting a, creating a disturbance.
Yeah. She absolutely created a disturbance.
Yeah, they are the disturbance.
And notice when she couldn't, she felt like she wasn't winning her argument, she fell back on her, feminist oppression. You males always have to have your way.
A woman driving a 3,000-pound vehicle that could mow people down if I choose to have a triggered moment. But that doesn't have anything to do. Wow.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
What a perfect
little snowflake.
Icing on the cake clip for our hypocrite Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just too perfect. Just, wow. What do you say to that, man?
I know.
I would say put your hands behind your back.
Yeah. Turn around. Get up against the car.
You want to see authoritarianism at work? No problem.
Yeah, we'll show you.
Wow.
We'll show you what your corporate citizenship buys you.
Oh, yeah. That's what's coming up next, too. The U.S. is a corporation. We have some listeners, folks, for those of you that are tuning in tonight. We have some new listeners that are tuning in, and there's a reason why I'm for the second hour, I'm going to be sharing with the audience a very concise piece of research. We're going to be posting it on Resurrect the Republic in the morning. So that people can share that link. We're going to be getting to Lori on line one when we get back, and Chris in Las Vegas when we get back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the face. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.